see that cat coming down.
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that stupid man with the bone.
Sure having himself a ball.
Following that direction, first steady and quiet, taking cut march, then something like that 3 or 4
Sometimes when we're talking about something like this, people will say to me, well, it's a question of whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
Yes, that's what I just said to you. That's what I just said to you. But that's, I don't like nobody pertaining to me to feel that way, but it's unfortunate that I do. I feel that if it's meant for you to walk out of this house to your death, mister, it's going to happen. Because if this Mr. Duffin can call me back to work there, but I was so unhappy I could have died there, I give up. I just give up when I've wanted so many things in my life so badly to come. You know, like you say, the car. This guy called me from all the selections he had and the older women and everything else, whereby the risk is so much greater. Yes, you mean, am I a fatalist? Yes. Yes.
Well, there is such a thing as fate.
Yes, for me, for the dummy, yes. Or for a person, no, a real clever person believes they make their own fate. But a person who's had a lot of hard knocks and always been down, the underdog, I suppose that's the easiest excuse.
What do you think are the most important things for some people going into
my greatest regret, and it should be, my older sister tells me so, I should have studied, but I lost my power of concentration at a very early age, and I've done remarkably well, considering that I don't have it.
You know, sobbing, and really, just couldn't be consoled about accepting the fact that the turtle had died, accepting the death of the turtle. And finally, I began to talk to him about the possibility of having a funeral for the turtle. And this seemed to calm him down, the very thought that the turtle could, you know, he could visit the grave of the turtle. We discussed having a funeral where he could visit the grave of the turtle. Somehow this seemed to make him feel a little better. Also, I told Daryl the turtle would go to turtle heaven, and this also consoled him very much. And the turtle wouldn't be sick anymore, the turtle would be well once he went to turtle heaven. This was also very consoling to him. The very thought that he could take part in a funeral and the burial of the turtle was a very consoling thing to him.
Noel and Mitch. Thank should find a turtle corner, I think.
Okay, you put it near here. Near the tree.
You take the tambourine and get the moon. I play at the Irish Rosie.
Like this one, Arowana.
Arowana. off. I go to sleep as detail and wake up as high. Will I die on the gallows or will I have the courage to take this poison? What's this I feel? The demon is coming. Hide it. No, not yet, thank God. What's that? What's that? Has my hour arrived? How can it be my pursuer? Those times. They remind me of that terrible night when, transformed as Hyde, I murdered the father of the woman I love. I'm afraid to keep away the demon. Oh, God, look into my heart and forgive my sin. You were right. I was wrong. The fiend is coming, yes.
prince rides again, his sluggish purple crest flopping over his dotty eyes as he casts a revolting shadow over the courtyard. For many years he had played by himself in the vaults and turrets of his father's castle, occasionally drawing back the musty curtains of burgundy red that masked him from the challenging sun or the ovulating moon. He would lurch past the flies on the windowsill like a figurehead through a bag of dust, tip over the battlements and cough himself rigid until white tears tumbled sluggishly from the slot in his neck. He would watch them recede into the fiery blue waters of the living moat and hiss with amusement as each drop animated into a steel-grey tadpole that writhed and dipped away towards the bank. One lurid afternoon, Happy was surprised to see an ex-tadpole of his develop into something he had never before seen. For, living alone as he did, with only mirrors for company, he knew nothing of women. The creature stood motionless on the opposite bank, her alabaster limbs beckoning him from his father's hole. It was weird. She seemed as still and cold as a statue. Indeed, Happy fancied he saw ivy curling round her feet. Yet her very stillness challenged the fetid breeze that stirred the trees and shrubs about the moat. Happy sensed that she was important. Then, suddenly, she opened both her eyes for what must have been the first time, and he saw that they were trained on him. They were of a powerful matte strawberry hue, and they shone with the luster of newly opened chestnuts. Her left hand dipped slightly, and her mouth turned up at the corner, as if to finally dispel any doubts as to her existence. A creeper that dangled flaccidly from the nearest turret top brushed against the shoulders of the purple-headed prince as he stood, pinned like a butterfly on a dartboard, transfixed but still writhing at her beauty. Her sneer increased to a smile, and as it did, Happy felt like a bottle of ginger beer that someone had shaken violently and was about to open. Giddily, he swung himself onto the battlements, grabbed the idol creeper, and swung across the water towards the princess. He landed with a milky squelch at her side, beneath an extraordinarily gnarled sumac tree. Instantly, she leapt away, giving the lie to her immobility. This was flesh and blood. Happy was convulsed with a strange yet familiar sensation. He felt he should be in a bathroom, and as he looked, the lowering vegetation above and before him took on the dingy, suggestive aura of dripping taps. The moss beneath his shiny pink feet was breathing sponge, caressing every pore of his skin with slimy, microscopic tendrils, and the moat behind him glistened like a sapphire basin, silhouetting the darker lily pads that floated across it like filthy suds. Abruptly, Happy broke off this reverie and wildly rotated his gaze. The creature had vanished. Where could it be? Happy reared up like a stallion and rammed through the undergrowth in pursuit of the first female he had ever seen. A slithering, rubbery whale diverted him from his soggy course, and he glanced to his left. There it was, crouched in the corner of a clearing, her eyes bleeding light into his, wearing a leopard-skin leotard, clutching an antennae to her brow, and muttering "Ooga" through a megaphone at him. The ground shook, and the jaws of the earth admitted Happy the Golden Prince head first into a deep hole. The wavy green turf closed over him, though his thrashing feet disturbed the surface for a moment or two more. Happy found himself upside down in a narrow fluorescent well that was both moist and cheesy. He quivered uncontrollably, aching with every inch of his soul to scratch something, but where he could not tell. His feet were ringing like telephone bells, and his head felt ready to burst. His cloak flapped open over his head like a bat's, and he became aware that the well was growing hotter and more muscular. It seemed, strangely enough, to be shrinking about him, like a skin around a fine pork sausage, yet he didn't mind. His whole life at the castle lay behind him now, sterile and eventless. He thought only how he would love to sneeze, and felt nothing but relief when the cool arms of the woman vigorously unscrewed his head and the toothpaste flowed out as if it were gushing from a broken dam into the very womb of the earth. "So that's who I am," he cried. Thank you.
interest you've taken in sending me the things I want. Right now, I'm rather busy since we just arrived here only 6 weeks ago, getting settled. We have a lot of units that came in only recently that we have to take care of. And soon, I hope to be able to get out into the country and meet some of the people and get some of the stories and music for you. I met a man here in Germany who promised to take me around and introduce me to some people who can give me some of the things we are looking for. Rest assured that as soon as I can, I will.
Petit patapon, il n'y mit pas la patte, mais il y mit le menton, mais il y mit le menton. La bergère en colère, et ron 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 petit patapon, la bergère en colère, tu as son petit chaton, tu as son petit chaton.
Little boxes on the hillside, little boxes made of ticky-tacky, little boxes on the hillside, little boxes all the same. There's a green one and a pink one and a blue one and a yellow one, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And the people in the houses all went to the university, where they were put in boxes and they came out all the same. And there's doctors and lawyers and business executives, and they're all made out of ticky-tacky and they all look just the same. And they all play on the golf course and drink their martinis dry, and they all have pretty children, and the children go to school, and the children go to summer camp, and then to the university, where they are put in boxes and they come out for not anymore. And then and a woman at
Wir rufen im Bye. Walking at night with the light, you can see through the icy blue water. Walking at day during